Daniel, chapter 10. Were all of you here Monday night? Is anybody not here Monday?
Rick
Rick's with his parents.
Ten.
Where's Daniel?
After Ezekiel.
Daniel chapter
10. I have decided something, and that is that I want you to continue to think about compulsions, and that we will do the public stuff in a different atmosphere. So we'll do them Friday night up at the ranch on Ave, because there needs to be an arena that's more conducive to honesty and
no escape. Take the car keys.
Now, the purpose of this list, the compulsions, is to provide you an opportunity to be honest, totally honest, without condemnation, and then to have a witness of a body of people of like precious faith that can be stronger than the strength of sin, which is the law. You need to hear that critically in your minds, otherwise you'll finesse yourself with regard to compulsions. You understand me?
No. When you said stronger than sin, that last part there.
Well, the as we talked about Monday night, the only thing that you really know experientially about sin are your compulsions. Everything else is intellectual. So you can put, whenever it says sin in here, you can put, to make it more real, you can put compulsion. You understand? The strength of sin is the law. So the fact that there has to be some mechanism whereby, well, I don't want to repeat everything I said Monday night, but that there is a witness that you're okay. But the exhortation that must take place as a result of that is, you know, normally you think of the word exhortation to mean, well, you're doing something bad. The real, as we progress onward on this path, the word exhortation is at least as often used to say, stop condemning yourself. You're free.
Amen.
And so the brethren are vital for that. And it's a process. It's not an instantaneous thing. That's why time exists. And that's how you can lay down your life. You understand? So I want you to be free on this list of compulsions. Don't let your mind finesse you into saying, oh, you know, it's nothing. Just let it all hang out. Okay?
Okay. Where's the, thing that just popped in my head was, you say, you exhort someone to not condemn themselves, and I agree with that. Where do you exhort somebody not to do something? I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but
okay, I know what you mean. The only time is the end result, the end of the commandment, is always unfeigned love. You exhort whenever you see no love or no faith. Those are the only two. No love is it's either all love or it's going the opposite direction. It's either all faith or going the opposite direction. There's not a little bit. Our only function is to be in a position where we live by faith, and the power of that living by faith is love. How are you in all this, by the way?
It's I was already doing this list tonight, so I was kind of like braced to do the list, you know, do that thing.
Okay. But you understand why it probably will be more efficacious.
Yeah.
Sure, I would prefer that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that sounds better.
Who all will be up the ramp?
Bananas only.
Just the buds.
Banana boats.
I mean, Sienna
will
be there too. Yeah. What? We call Sienna our dog, Sienna Banana. Her nickname is Banana Boat. Okay, Daniel 10.
This is 4.
In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. What? In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. However you say it.
What is his name?
Huh?
What does his name have a name?
Because he's a Hebrew in Babylon.
His name was called Daniel.
Well, that's an interesting construction considering what we just studied about language.
That's right.
His name was called. That's a great name.
Now, Daniel is the Hebrew name. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. And the word Daniel, means God alone will judge. The name Bel says, however you say it. Belteshazzar.
Belteshazzar
is a Babylonian name, but in Hebrew, that Babylonian name means God will protect. So the duality or the dual is that God alone will judge, and also God alone will protect. Okay? And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, or great. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Now, all of you, I'm sure you all remember everything that I've taught you about Daniel, right? Daniel was, this is in 540 BC, before Christ. They are in captivity. They're in a captive land. They've been taken, and the Jews are in Babylon. Daniel, through the early part, we saw that he became like the choicest of the choice in Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar. He became the king's primary consul, and something like what, half the lands of Babylon were given to him. One of the most prominent ancient religions, I'm going to turn that off for the time being.
It's too hot.
One of the most prominent ancient religions was the religion of the Medes and Persia, Media Persia. And there are, obviously, they were one of the kingdoms that were the prominent kingdoms of the ancient, or prominent empires. They had a sect of holy men called the Magi. And these were not just wise men or the three wise men as you've seen in your Christmas anthologies. The Magi were followers of a book called the Zend Avesta. And the Zend Avesta was a book of ancient wisdom that they've only found pieces of it. But the followers of the Zend Avesta were founded by a man named Zoroaster. And Zoroaster, if you've ever studied world history, was one of the most prominent religious figures in history. Something in their holy book, the Zend Avestas, caused them, these three prominent high priests of Persia, to travel a couple thousand miles on camels across deserts, suffering severe hardship in order to bring these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to this infant baby. Well, to make a long story short, it's almost a certainty that Zoroaster was the number one pupil of Daniel. That Daniel, in truth, was the founder of, and probably the dictator of, the Zend Avesta, the holy book which prophesied the desired of the nations would come when certain things in the star patterns took place. So here in this dream, or in this vision, it says that Daniel, that a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. Again, Daniel meaning God would judge, God only would judge, and God only would protect. Somehow those names of those, his names, are intimately connected with the thing. You understand? And the thing was true, but it says, and the thing that he was revealed to him was not just true, it was truth. And he understood the truth and had understanding of the vision. So this was 540 years before Christ. What Daniel saw in this vision was Jesus Christ. Now, the book of Daniel doesn't describe in any detail what he saw here, as we'll see, what this vision was. But if you were Daniel and you were had the power of half of the Median Persian Empire at your command, and you had a vision from the Holy One, the God, a vision, as you'll see, you would write it down. And that, what I believe, I can't prove this, but I intimately know it, that what he wrote down was called the Zend Avesta. And that the response of that Zend Avesta, the response of this vision, the thing that was true a long or a great time off, 540 years from that point, was Messiah. So Daniel here is looking forward to Messiah, but all of what it means is Daniel was taken out of time and he saw Messiah. Now we must also be taken out of time to see Messiah, to see the desired of the nations, so that you're no longer confronted with the Jerusalem that you have constructed. That has been ripped down, the walls are down, and you see, because the walls have been collapsed on you, you see, if you will, backward, in the same way that Daniel, and you'll see the same vision that Daniel saw forward, which really it doesn't make any sense because it wasn't in time. You understand me? Okay, now it gets... And he had an understanding of the thing. Now, here, the Holy Book is calling the vision of Jesus Christ the thing. Then the thing left behind. No. I just heard that terrible laugh.
You only absorb the real, real dregs of media.
Indulge not. What I want to tell you, I want to show to you that Daniel saw this vision while he was between the straits, between the fast of Tammuz and the fast of Ab. But Daniel, along with the ancient holy men, did this thing that we are doing between the straits. They did. They really did it. I mean, they didn't just fuck around like we do. We just sort of stepped, we put our toe into the between the straits a little bit. Because we're not, we don't have enough courage to do the real between the straits, and therefore we run around and complain that we don't have a vision. But watch. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, can you understand then why Daniel, that you remember the period of between the straits, it's a period of mourning.
Yeah.
It's mourning for everything of the flesh. It's mourning because your Jerusalem, your value systems that now are collapsed. Okay. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, that means that no water touched his body. What we're going to do on the fast of Ab, he did for 3 full weeks. And in the 24th day of the first month, now the I'll explain that to you later, but they didn't use the same calendar that, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, excuse me, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, his face is the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and feet were like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. Why? Because they hadn't seen through the wall of their Jerusalem. It's the same way that we studied about Isaac and Abraham and the 2 young men that were with him. Abraham looked up and saw the New Jerusalem, saw the temple on the mount. He asked Isaac, what did he see? And he said, I see it too. He asked the 2 young men, what did they say? We see the dumb mountains. You stay here with the asses. Well, the same thing here. You got me? And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. The only thing they knew, the only thing they sensed from the vision, was a fear of something. A fear that led to the quaking of their bones. Daniel saw Jesus Christ. They saw fear. When the earth quakes and the millstone breaks, some feel fear, some elation. Now the question is, you know, which do you see? Therefore I was left alone. and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me unto corruption, and I retained no strength. Now he's been fasting for 3 weeks, and the little strength he had left was turned into nothing. You see how quickly we take the name of God in vain? If we are feeling any kind of suffering or any kind of thing, we run to try to get it solved. Why? That's why on the Fast of Ab, it's just a little bit, one day, 24 hours. Just so you can have a taste of what, you know, that if you suffer, if you don't suffer him, he won't reign with you. And I retained no strength, yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Every time you hear the words.
The voice of his words.
Yeah. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Yeah. Well, this is going to be the next part of this is going to be hard for you to understand. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. And the type from the first day of the Fast of Tammuz, when you chastened yourself, when you sought something other than the sensory perceptions and cares, which you really know are bullshit anyway. And I'm come for thy words. But there was a delay here, 3 weeks. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days.
That's it.
Understand?
Whoa. Shit.
You're saying it was Daniel that was shooting?
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
Man, I love the way he did that too. There's a part of me. That's only when he was finally in tongue waking.
When he was a maggot on the ground rather than the prince of Persia.
Comeliness turned to corruption.
Now, the metaphor here for you to understand is, I have no question that the prince of darkness withstood Gabriel. This is probably Gabriel. But the metaphor is that you are the prince of your land, and you are the one that is withholding, with you are the prince, you are the child of the devil that is withholding, that is withstraining, restraining. You got it? Because, again, the names, back to the names, God alone will judge instead of you. And God alone will protect instead of your devices. So in Daniel, we just have another turning or another view of the one parable. The cross. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Yeah, let's leave that one for a minute. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. When you see the vision of the Holy One of Israel, you're gone. You're history. Because you see, just like Job did, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. Well, that's what happened here. For how can the servant, or this servant, my Lord, and what it says is, for how can this servant, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? In other words, he's not worthy. How can I mean, as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, the Son of Man. You know, when you remember when we studied in Genesis, when the three young men or the angels came to visit Abraham, and they made him cakes, and the three became one. Well, here we got Gabriel, Michael, and one like unto the Son of Man. And then it's only one like unto the Son of Man. There's a big sermon there, but I don't feel like talking about it right now. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I came unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that beholdeth, there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. Now, remember throughout several times, well, let's go there, Luke 24. verse 13. The crucifixion has happened. Christ is buried. And there's two of the people that were sort of semi-interested in Jesus walking. Remember, we've talked about that this probably was what's called the Jubilee year. And so they had all these people from all over the world to come and retain their lands, or to receive the lands that were to return back to them during the Jubilee year. And so Jerusalem was full. There was tents. Josephus said there was, everywhere you look, there were tents on the hills all around Jerusalem. You know, normally Jerusalem was built as a feast city. That's why it was built. And every house had in it the lower room, and then it had the upper rooms. The upper rooms were where by law they had to be empty. So it was only the pilgrims that came on the feast days lived there when they came to the feast days. But now there were too many people because it was a Jubilee year. And so Emmaus is a suburb, well, not really, but it's about 12 miles from Jerusalem. And these guys are all despondent because they thought that Jesus was the Christ, that he would solve all of their problems. They were believers on him, but then he was crucified. They betrayed him just like all the rest of the disciples did. It wasn't only Peter that betrayed him, all of the disciples betrayed him. So now they're walking back. They've had to have the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and now they probably just had the Feast of First Fruits. And they're walking back to where they're staying, about 12 miles from Jerusalem. It's a place called Emmaus. It's a long walk. They're kind of sad. You got the picture? The guy that they thought would make everything right for them turned out to be a fraud. Okay. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, now I can prove to you by literary style that one of these guys is Luke, the physician. He is a Greek Jew. He's from Greece. He is here in Jerusalem for this feast, and he's a physician. And even with his stature, he couldn't get a place to stay. He had to go all the way out to Emmaus. But during the time now, since he's been around probably most of the year because it's a Jubilee year, and he became a believer, now he's all despondent. He's walked. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, they had been with Jesus, more than likely, towards the end. Luke was one of the 70 that was sent out, and that's when the demons ran at his name, and people were healed, and, you know, he said, don't give that any breath. Okay. So he'd been with Jesus a whole lot of times. I mean, he'd been, probably ate with him, talked with him night and day, slept with him, was around him all the time. And they communed together and reasoned. Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, as if Jesus himself was one of the disciples that was going back to Emmaus. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now, this isn't one of them, but with the 12 that were with him night and day for 3 years,
Christ appeared unto them three different times after the resurrection. Not once did they recognize him. That's amazing. That'll blow holes in every bit of theology you've ever thought you had. You understand? Now here's another experience, another time. Jesus Christ is walking with them. Their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another, as you walk and are sad? I mean, you know, this is obviously a terrible translation. He said, what the hell's going on? What's the matter with you guys? You know, why are you so downcast? Why are you so bummed out? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou now not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? You know, Christ has got a little sense of humor here. What things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet. Now you got to know that pissed Jesus off. Prophet, hell. Mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done, and nothing has happened.
You know, I never noticed before, but this sure sounds a lot like the woman you gave me made me do it.
Yeah.
I mean, the other people delivered him, other people crucified him, but we trusted.
Yeah. They know more trusted than you do. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. But you know, the tone here is, but that was obviously bullshit.
Yeah, it's like, it's the third day, and then he doesn't tell them about the women.
So. Yeah.
We're still waiting.
And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as so the women had said, but him they saw not. Now remember, we're tying, you always forget what I tie this, oh, I always forget. One of us forgets.
Forget it.
The reference that I want to tie this to is in verse 10:20, chapter Daniel 10:21. Behold, I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. Okay?
Yeah.
And the idea is it's the same thing that he called the thing up here earlier in Daniel. All right. Then Christ finally had enough back here in Luke. And he said, O fools, you abject idiots. I mean, he's not talking to them nice here. You got to see that. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things in order to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In other words, he showed them the same thing that this Son of Man showed Daniel. I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. The same thing that you are to see. Whenever you look anywhere in this book, you see Jesus. Not, oh, I should be this way. Oh, poor me. But then it gets better here. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. You got to get this in your mind now. This will be the forever truth of your life from now on. Christ will always make as though he will pass you by. It must be you that grabs on. That's what the slow of heart means. You understand me? Okay, they've arrived at Emmaus. They've arrived at the place. It's probably a pretty nice place because Luke's got a lot of bread. He's a doctor. Drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. Remember when we've talked in the past about in Isaiah where it says, command ye him the things concerning his son? Don't give sleep till to your eyelids until you've found out the habitation of the Holy One of Israel. No more sloth. The purpose of being between the straits is to destroy the sloth. They constrained him, saying, abide with us. Hallelujah. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. The neatest passage in the scripture. Then from that time forward, both of them forever and always, their speech was the next verse. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scripture? Now, if I cannot make your heart burn while I open unto you the scripture, then I fail.
Wow, then they went up to Jerusalem that night.
And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem.
They just walked all the way out there.
Just walked.
12 miles. Come on back. Jesus.
Yeah, but I'll bet they flew the 12 back.
Yeah, I think so.
And found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and the mystery of how he was known unto them in the breaking of the bread.
Yay.
Yeah, I just know that back there in 31, you could just as well say, and their eyes were opened, and they remembered him.
Or understood him. And as they spake, now, you got to visualize this. You got these 11 fearful disciples, they're afraid for their life. They're hiding out in Mark's parents' house. And we can prove you that too. Mark's parents are very wealthy. They have this great estate outside Jerusalem near the garden, Mount of Olives. They're hiding out, fearful for their lives. First thing that happens, Simon comes running back and says, the Lord is risen. Yeah, right. Then comes Luke and Cleophas saying, what happened? Right. You're just like those silly women that told us about that crazy thing that happened at the sepulchre this morning. You know, you're seeing things.
You just try.
This is hysterical.
And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you.
Wow. And you know what's wild? Back there in 31, it doesn't say he left. It just says they couldn't see him anymore. And here, it doesn't say he came in. It just means that they could see him. He was there all the time.
But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a ghost.
That makes sense.
Now, do you see why I can say to you guys, you know, I know all of that part about you. That's why I can say to you that when I look at you, I see the other side. I see the men of faith that do exploits, that know their God. I see the women who raise people from the dead.
Before, when you said that, I thought that what that meant was you were saying that we were really neat. But that isn't it. It means you know that they were putzes.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking putz. They were terrifying. I love that.
I wonder if he was laughing.
Ooh, a goat.
And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?
Okay, everybody, stop thinking.
Behold my hands and my feet. That it is I. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while I yet believed, not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, have you any meat?
What does that mean?
Now, I'm glad you asked that.
I mean the not for joy part.
That's what I'm glad you asked.
The broiled fish part.
Yes, Mr. Broiled fish.
Let's leave that one alone for a minute. Okay. Go to John.
Wait, what about this?
All right, let's do that first. All right. We're gonna come back for that not for joy though.
Am I gonna eat it?
Huh? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Now, there may be some massive spiritual revelation in the reason for the broiled fish and the honeycomb, but I don't know it.
Maybe not.
Maybe it's just a throwaway.
Maybe it's just
a throwaway.
He hasn't eaten in 4 days. I mean, come on.
Maybe that's just a wing.
They didn't have tacos today.
And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now the structure of that gives you that it's in the English, that it's optional, and that there are some things that were written in those things about him. But in the Greek, it says all of the Psalms and all of the prophets and all of the law was about him, and it was all fulfilled. Now, that's the vision. That's the exact same thing that Daniel saw during the fast between the straits. He saw the scripture in truth, the thing, the vision. That's what you must see. No more interest in protecting your ass. If you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. If you seek to save your life, you are not ready for the walls of your Jerusalem to tumble. It's all right for someone else to help you, but you can never help yourself. You understand? The only reason, if you're working, the only reason you work is so you have money to give, to help other people. Your life is totally and completely outside of the realm of this world. It has no relationship to it. This is your vocation. This is your avocation. Yeah. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he left them out as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen.
Why did they have to stay in the city of Jerusalem?
Because the Feast of Pentecost was coming up. Now, we'll see from the other scriptures that what they did here, this is...
Essentially told them not to break the law.
Yeah. They
left 10 days so they could be purified, right?
Yeah, but they went from here to the mountain in Galilee during this period of time. And he appeared unto them again, as we'll see in the other Gospels. And then it says, now return to Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost, that all things in the law might be fulfilled. That was the last thing to be fulfilled. It had to come to pass. But the thing that I want you to see from this is that the same thing that's happening in us, this period of being between the straits, that when Daniel was in this position, he fasted from everything for 3 weeks. At the end of that fast, a being appeared unto him and said, the prince of has restrained me. It's you. That prince that's restraining him is your strength. It's your total modus operandi since the beginning of your life. Therefore, his strength is made perfect only in your weakness. Therefore, Paul said, therefore I glory in my weakness, my infirmities, my pain, my suffering, because when I am purposefully weak, then he is strong. That's the lesson of this period of being between the straits. But I wanted you to see the fruit of what happened when Daniel accomplished the between the straits phenomena. He saw the same thing that the disciples saw after the flesh. That the promise is the same thing that you will see. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath that hope in himself purifieth himself automatically, even as he is pure. Without regard, he doesn't even give breath to his own self. I judge not even mine own self in any way. That's what all this is about, to get you to this point that you might see him. Amen? That's enough. Huh? Well, they had believed in him, but hadn't yet believed on him. You can't believe for joy until he is your life. What?
I'm taking great hope out of the situation that Daniel was in, because at the beginning of the 21 days, he set his heart to understand, and God heard his words. And even though his identity resisted for 21 days, and it took 21 days for it to be worn down. The angel was on his way to see him during those 21 days, and when it was accomplished, the vision was there.
Okay.
I take great hope in that.
Okay. Now, it's just not available. I give my left arm for a copy, a full copy of the Zend Avesta. I'd love to see what it was caused the Magi. I mean, we're talking popes. These were pope guys. These weren't
some dopey guys with three camels.
Yeah.
Decided to head out.
Well, we know it said exactly what the star said, and we know that it said exactly where to go to.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, didn't it give you the latitude or the longitude?
No. It gave only the land of Judah.
Well, then why would it have been necessary for them to navigate to get there?
Because they had to follow to see where the star was at a particular time, remember? That's what you remember when we talked about it had to be at a particular point and a particular angle. And it had to be in the book.
Well, that's what I thought.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. I thought you said we knew that.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't like you. You're too sly.
That's
it.
What does that mean?
That's what I said. I think it's pretty apparent.
I don't like you. You're too sly.
You observe too well. All right, so fix my back already.
All right, we need two people to stop. Take a big guy.